Hour 3, Triple Option, RBKD. It is a Bat Tuesday, our sister station. I love the jams they play. I love the 80s. Now, but Pretty Woman wouldn't have been the 80s, but the Bat plays it, right?
This version of Pretty Woman is the Van Halen version.
Oh, okay.
And this would be early 80s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, rest in peace, right?
Eddie Van Halen.
Gone
too soon. Most influential musicians of all time.
Gone too soon. It's Kevin Dunn. It's Brad Kellner. It is Rod Babers, the newly engaged Rod Babers. He finally made the decision yesterday. He's got a terrific fiance. Now, you got to make that adjustment, Rod. That's a tough adjustment. I understand why people do it, but I've run into some people, had some friends that they understand there's a time limit on that, right? Or at least there should be a time limit on using that word.
Yeah.
And so they say it a lot. It'll be like, you know, my fiance is over there. Have I told you my fiance? My fiance? And
yeah,
I'm like, okay,
annoying.
You only have 6 months to use it, and then hopefully you'll never use it again.
It's annoying.
It gets old. But I heard you earlier, you said girlfriend, and you had
to
kind of pause.
Girlfriend, I said my girl.
You said your girl.
I
That's
never
fair.
Said my girlfriend.
Fair enough. You're right about that.
I always say my girl, so I'm kind of still in that. I still can pull that off.
Is that legal?
What?
Once you get into fiance world, can you still call her your girl, or does she have to be the fiance?
Fiance.
I wasn't sure if we were putting the
action. Better than analyst.
I think your girl can still be, she's my girl.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I don't make the rules.
She's always going to be your girl.
Yeah, so I think you're still good there. But I agree with you. The fiance thing is annoying. So.
Well, a lot of well wishes coming in the Specs text line, 337-3776.
Yeah.
I saw Ricky.
I won't use that very much because I know how annoying it is.
Well, Bevo tweeted you.
Bevo did.
Even yesterday. In the middle of a lawsuit.
This guy's getting sued, and he's still thinking about you, Rod.
Bevo. That could be incriminating evidence.
Right.
Not against Bevo.
And he doesn't have a huge IQ to be able to balance all that stuff. It's pretty impressive.
My girl, my fiance, loves Bevo. Fiance. She loves Bevo. So maybe that's it.
Okay. I'm sure it was Ricky Brennis. And
Ricky B?
No, it was Bevo. It has a blue check mark, which means it had to have been Bevo who tweeted it.
Exactly.
There's the rules.
He just ruined it. It's supposed to be it's Bevo.
Yeah. You even had
Bevo
the autograph.
Bevo actually tweeted me. It's more special when Bevo tweets you rather than my boy Ricky did. It's like, no. Well, just Ricky. I love Ricky, though.
Well, he was
Ricky's good people.
He was glad that you held on to this one.
yeah.
Threw a little hands jab in there.
Yeah. Bevo's got jokes. But no, all the well wishes. Appreciate everything. It's really nice for everybody.
Good job by Bevo, though.
What, the joke?
Knowing his history. Yeah, he wasn't even alive when you were playing college football at
Bevo
UT.
Bevo studied up. Well, you weren't alive for most of the
his
stuff you know.
Was history. I was alive.
You weren't alive for, you talk about Texas football history, about stuff you weren't alive for, like Stoney Clark
and
stuff
like impressive.
That. Because you did your research.
And I'm impressed that a steer is doing that. That's the story here, gentlemen. I don't know too many steers who are doing stuff like that. They usually just eat grass and crap.
Bevo's just not your everyday steer.
That's very
right?
true.
He's Bevo a show steer.
Very special, exactly.
He's a smart steer.
Yeah. He's smart, yeah.
So anyway, love
very
to you.
Docile.
And much love to you. And
Thank
that's
you,
been coming in. So we appreciate everyone who's been
Thanks,
doing
guys.
That. It also takes away from some of the texts that are coming in from Cowboys fans. I don't know why you guys aren't happy.
Very different tone.
I don't know what team you're watching. Here's a stat before we get into offensively all the replacements they've had to have. And I will say that I know they've had some bad luck. I think you could have seen it coming a little bit with an aging offensive line, right, Rod? I mean, that you were going to have some depth there.
It's all, you know, I love Tom Herman. I know Tom Herman's quote, and I'm sure Tom Herman is not the one to come up with it, but he always talks about, you know, building a program is like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. By the time you get done painting the Golden Gate Bridge, you got to start all over again.
Yeah.
That's how long it is. To me, an offensive line, building an offensive line is the same way. By the time you get done building that offensive line, drafting your franchise tackle, getting that center, getting the complimentary tackle, getting yourself an athletic guard like Zach Martin. By the time you're done doing that, you'd start all over again, and the Cowboys didn't start all over again. And maybe they tried to, but it wasn't as effective of an effort as it was when they began this thing with Tyron Smith and then getting, you know, Travis Frederick and Zach Martin and Lyle Collins. And now all those guys are aging and old or done, and it's
strange that
it happened so quick. It happened really quickly.
Yeah.
But I think that's how fast it deteriorates on the offensive line if you don't continue to reinvest. And they did, by the way, with the two Connors.
They missed.
They just missed.
They missed on the two Connors. Stop drafting Connors for the interior line. Yeah. I like that Golden Gate Bridge analogy.
It is
good. I mean, it is. So once you're done And but BK, the other thing too that is going to make this hard to actually rebuild that, and we will get into the game here, obviously, but there are bigger issues, macro issues with this organization, that your investment is really in the run game. It's not going to be with the offensive line. It's going to be with the running back, and smart NFL teams aren't doing that right now.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about the long-term future of the Cowboys offensive line, I think, as you guys are, because Lael Collins is still really young. This is a one-time injury. He's still really, really good at right tackle. Zach Martin probably got a concussion last night, but that's not like a lingering, you're worried about that lasting forever type of issue. Unless he suffers a few more, obviously. Tyler Biadasz looks very good.
I told y'all he's going to be good.
You did, yeah. Absolutely. And I trust Wisconsin offensive linemen. I trust Notre Dame offensive linemen. And I trust your opinion on those guys, too. Short sample size, small sample size, whatever. But he looks like he can be a good player for this football team moving forward. Connor Williams isn't great, but I think the Cowboys have some pieces. Like, maybe that's a spot you could put Joe Looney when he comes back. Tyron Smith is the one you got to worry about, right? He plays the most important position on that offensive line at left tackle. He's an all-pro player when he's healthy. The problem is he just can't stay healthy. And this is the first time where he's missed like a full season type of thing. It's usually three or four games a year, but you can't even have that happen, right? I mean, you can't have your starting left tackle missing three or four games every single season. That is a huge issue. So the Cowboys O-line is going to be a problem all year long. I don't think there's any doubt about it because they're not getting a lot of those guys back, but I do think they have some pieces to where it doesn't feel like you'll have to completely start over from scratch to make that unit relevant again. Are they going to be where they were 3 or 4 years ago, maybe the best offensive line in football? No, that's going to take an overhaul and using more first-round picks like they did to build that original offensive line group. But are they going to be worst in the league for the next couple of years? No, unless they have a ridiculous number of injuries, I think they can be an adequate offensive line unit.
I think that's fair. Their biggest issue right now, no matter who's blocking, is turning the ball over. And both y'all hit the number. They've got 15 this year. They had 4 against Arizona. And the Cowboys have allowed 84 points off turnovers this season. That's the most in the NFL. 84 points off of turnovers.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, a minus 12 turnover margin through 6 games. Like, that is unbelievable. I mentioned it earlier, the teams that are tied for second in that category are Philadelphia and Minnesota, and they're at minus 7 in turnover differential. The Cowboys are minus 2 in turnovers every single week this season. It's amazing that they have 2 wins this year, considering how often they are just giving the ball away. And a lot of these are self-inflicted wounds, right? And they're not like crazy plays made by the defense. It's just guys coughing up the football. Yep. It's as simple as that. And Zeke Elliott was obviously the prime offender last night, and his turnover issues have been prominent all year long. And it's really, you know, last year wasn't that bad, but 2018 was really bad for Zeke in terms of coughing up the football. So now whenever you talk about Zeke Elliott, you have to worry about the fumble issue. That's something that's a part of him now. And, I mean, the Cowboys are dead last in takeaways and dead last in giveaways. And, guys, another remarkable stat, and there are so many remarkable stats for this football team. I got to find it here. I've got so many remarkably bad stats for Dallas right now. But the number of plays this year they've had with a lead. Here we go. In 6 games, the Cowboys have held a lead for 21 offensive plays.
Whoa.
They have played with a deficit for 370 plays. That's an average of more than 60 snaps per game that the Cowboys are trailing. Guys, that's worse than football. Like, even winless teams, even the Jets have played with a deficit less
that was gonna be my
than
question.
The Dallas the Cowboys Jets? Have. Yes, crazy, the Jets are at 342. The Cowboys are at 370 plays in which they are playing from behind. It is remarkable. They are an onside kick, watermelon kick, miracle away from being 1-5. Mm-hmm. And hell, you look at the Giants game. If the Giants don't get flagged for the penalty on the fake field goal that went for a touchdown, the Cowboys probably lose that game too. So they're lucky to be 2-4 right now. Obviously, they play in the worst division in the history of football, which means they're still in first place, which I don't think is a good thing for Dallas because that might cost them some draft slots at the end of the year. But they have been so bad. And Bill Parcells, former Cowboys coach, former everybody coach, always said,
no disrespect.
No, he didn't say. He said, you are what your record says you are, right? That's his famous quote. The Cowboys are worse than the record says they are. They're actually going against that statement. They should be like 0-6 or 1-5 the way they've played this year. Somehow they are 2-4. I don't know how many times you can hit rock bottom, guys. I thought Cleveland was rock bottom. And then Dak gets hurt, and I'm like, okay, that's probably rock bottom. And then last night happens. Like, how many rock bottoms can one team hit this year? they just keep playing worse and worse. And unfortunately for us, we've got to cover this team for 10 more games this year, guys. And the worst part is they're all relevant games. You can't just close the book on this team and say, all right, screw it. Let's focus on the draft. This thing is done. This team's in first place.
Yeah.
They've got a better chance of hosting a playoff game than the 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers do right now, guys. That's how bad the NFC East is right now.
Yeah.
That's a real stat.
Historically bad.
So, I mean, that's bad for the Cowboys. Jerry Jones probably loves it because they're going to be relevant. People are going to keep talking about them. But, God, they are so bad. Kyler Murray completed 9 passes last night, and the Cowboys still lost by 28. I mean, they got worked on a bad quarterback night by the opposition, and they had no signs of life whatsoever. You're questioning effort. You're questioning toughness. You're questioning everything about this football team. It's terrible, guys.
Speaking of rock bottom, Jane Slater tweeted out earlier today. She's since gone on a couple of shows to talk about this report, but she said players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out on the coaching staff. She said, here's one of the quotes, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly, end quote. Another quote, they just aren't good at their jobs, end quote. That was in regards to the coaches. And I'm going to just spitballing and say this is probably guys on defense.
Yeah.
Because the guys on defense, the Cowboys defenders, they've been especially kind of emotionally fragile during this transition with Mike Nolan. Because remember, and BK remembers this because he's a Cowboys fan. Remember all the reports are, what, the Cowboys defense is too damn predictable. Rod Marinelli, base everything. Everybody knows what the Cowboys are going to do all the time because they have no deception. There's no pre-snap, the pre-snap shell look as opposed to what they're going to run. And the Cowboys need to do something about their disguise and all these different things. And Mike Nolan came in and said he's going to run a multiple defense, which means kind of like Belichick. He'll be 3-4 or 4-3, three down linemen, four down linemen, and mix up the fronts and mix up the coverages. And the players at one point started complaining that the defense was too complicated.
Yeah.
Right? That it was too much going on. They had to simplify stuff. Like, it's just too much. He's trying to throw too much at the players at one time. Because I think he was trying to be multiple, but also make sure there are different looks. Remember, he had a defensive end standing up, moving guys around on the front. And now the guys, they were complaining about that. So I think these complaints are about how uncomfortable the defense is. And that's why, part of the reason, you know, they're last in the NFL in scoring defense, allowing 36 points per game. They're on track right now. They're the 5th worst defense in NFL history through 6 games, giving up 218 points. I think this is the guys on defense voicing their displeasure about Mike Nolan and the staff and how they're being used.
I think you're exactly right. If I had,
they've
gone
back and forth. You know what I mean?
They have. And you kind of brought it up well there, how the fans thought it was too vanilla, and I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they were tipping stuff off, and you got to have some pre-snap looks and be able to adapt and morph pretty damn quickly. But then all of a sudden, if the players are saying it's too complicated, you got to find that right medium. And obviously, these guys just need to cool off right now. If you need to cool off, if you need an AC, Bryant, Electric is good the job. Place to go. Bryant, AC, good. And Electric. I love the family. They're fantastic people. They are Austinites, old school Austinites. You're really going to like them, but they also do really good work, which is important. They won the Austin Chronicle Best of Electrical. That was in 2019. They've been doing electrical for a long time, for 37 years. But they've also been working on air conditioners. They work with every brand of AC, so it's not just Bryant. You get the same great service and quality work they've done for electrical, and now do it for your AC. So two birds, one stone, get them on out there. They got contactless home visits. All employees have background checks, and you get those same-day appointments, which is crucial for an air conditioner. 512-328-3268, 512-328-3268, or BryantACService.com.
Rod, you kind of brought up the numbers. I'll add a few more statistics to sort of back up what you were saying. The Cowboys have given up 218 points in 6 games. No other team has given up more than 192. That's the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas is on pace to give up 581 points. You mentioned how they're, what, 5th? In terms of points allowed through 6 games?
Yeah, it's 1950 Baltimore Colts, 235, 1961 Oakland Raiders, 228, 1954 Washington football team, 223. They're tied with the 48 New York Giants for 218 points allowed through the first 6 games.
Pre-merger. all of those are pre-merger teams.
Yes.
And those were all when the schedule was less than 16 games. So the Cowboys right now are on pace to give up 581 points this season, which would be an NFL record. I mean, their offensive line is a shell of itself. Their running back looks like he doesn't want to be there right now, right? One of their highest-paid players. Hell, a couple of their highest-paid players are doing this team more harm than good. They've got a backup quarterback. I mean, they just have nothing that gives you any sort of confidence that this can resemble a quality football team moving forward.
Yeah, and if you're optimistic about Dalton, one, you got to protect him. I mean, he was running for his life a lot of that game. But the Cowboys are 6-19 in their past 25 games when starting a backup quarterback.
Yep.
That goes back to 2010. I understand most teams aren't going to be great unless you've really been smart about that.
Yeah.
But Rod's
McCarthy's, exactly.
And McCarthy hadn't been good either.
He hadn't been good either.
He's 6-12-1 with a backup quarterback.
Off, yeah, except for Belichick. Probably Belichick actually has a decent record.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's probably got a decent record with him. And I look at Andy Reid. Maybe there have been a couple of coaches who probably are a little bit different, but for the most part, everybody's going to have a drop off. But the Cowboys paying the price for their. You know, that lack of vision as it relates to the quarterback position. This year's been a little bit different, though. I thought the Andy Dalton thing was a good move.
I did, too.
But as you guys have talked about, BK's mentioned, that offensive line, it's in such shambles that he can't do anything about that. And when you did have a Dak that could move around, it was able to mitigate some of the pressure you were going to get. Andy Dalton just can't do that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the rhythm with the wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb's great, though, guys. CeeDee Lamb actually set an NFL record. I believe he's the first rookie in NFL history to have at least 5 receptions in his first 6 games in the history of the league. That's legit.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Dalton got no help, right? I mean, I don't know how much of this you can really pin on
him. And Zeke didn't help.
Zeke Elliott fumbling twice in the first half.
Zeke's supposed to be the leader here, man. Zeke's supposed to be the guy at this point that steps up because – of course, they got the injury issues, and they got, 7, 8 starters on offense that are on the IR, and I think 12 starters overall. They got a lot of guys that hit the IR, but still, Zeke has been relatively healthy, knock on wood, and run blocking is easier than pass blocking. That's what most offensive linemen will tell you. So we should be able to just go, you know what, let's slow the damn game down, keep our terrible defense off the field, let's just run the rock.
Yeah.
Everybody focus on running the rock. Wide receivers should be blocking. Everybody take pride in that, and they can't do it. And it's not because they're that inept at running it. It's because he's not holding up his end of the bargain. He's choking right now. It's crazy.
I hope Mike McCarthy has some say in terms of personnel decisions made beyond this year, right? I mean, we all know this is ultimately Jerry Jones's call, and it's Jerry and Stephen Jones who make the decisions in terms of roster moves and whatnot. But, man, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm watching very closely over these next 10 games to see who earns a chance to be a part of this rebuild. And there may be some dead money and some pricey contracts you have to get rid of, a la the L.A. Rams, right? What they've done over the last couple of years when guys just stop performing and you realize, okay, dude, we're better off just paying these guys to quit.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be something that Mike McCarthy looks at, and the Cowboys might need to look at the Jalen Smiths and the Zeke Elliotts. Maybe not this offseason, but at some point over the span, over the lives of their contracts, and say, dude, these guys just aren't helping us win. They're better off not being here. They're doing us more harm than good. I think Mike McCarthy's going to really have to pay attention to that.
I think there's no doubt they should look at that. Whether they will because of Jerry, that's more the bigger question. Are you going to follow what really smart NFL teams are? Before we get to Rod's rant of the day, BK, I think your biggest fear is that this team goes 7-9, right?
Yeah. Making the playoffs would be a huge problem, right? I'd rather them go 4-12 and get a top 5 or 10 draft pick. Like, this is very reminiscent of 2015 Cowboys where Tony Romo got hurt and things fell apart. Hopefully this time around, if that does happen, the Cowboys don't waste a top 5 pick on a running back and then sign him to a record-setting deal. Hopefully they've learned their lesson from that. But, yeah, I mean, if they do make the playoffs, the highest they could pick, excuse me, is 18th. And that would be a problem, right? If you're going to win 6 or 7 games, you want to be picking a little bit higher than that. But because they'd make the playoffs in this garbage NFC East, then that's the best they could do draft-wise. So, yeah, it'd be better long-term for the future of the Cowboys if they just totally tanked this season.
Yeah.
It's a tough football year for you.
But it's hard to tank when your division is so bad.
I know.
Like, how can you tank when the rest
four
of
their next five
3-14-1 the division is?
Four of their next 5 games are against teams with 1 win currently.
That's what I'm saying. So I know you're talking about tanking,
but
how do you
tank? The Cowboys should have 1 win.
I know. Yeah. That'd be best. They're not going to. They're going to be trying in these games, and they might win a couple because their schedule sucks so much. But, it'd be best to just get the most impactful player you can in the draft, but that probably won't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of Cowboys talk. We'll talk more about the Cowboys, too, on the other side of my rants of the day. I want to get into a little bit of that game last night and some of the macro issues that affect the Cowboys. We may have to rebuild this whole damn roster.
Yeah.
It's possible. I hate to say it that way because, hell, I was picking the Cowboys to make a Super Bowl run. And now you may be looking at a rebuild. We'll talk about that reality for the Dallas Cowboys. Also get into some other news, notes, and nuggets associated with the Dallas Cowboys. On the other side, in Roch Rant of the Day, right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day, and I couldn't help but dive into the Cowboys discussion a little bit, so I want to continue some of the things we were talking about there in the first segment. And, guys, it's really interesting the predicament the Cowboys find themselves in. You know, and it all starts with Dak. And I was talking to my brother yesterday, and I was talking about the proposal and talking about my fiancé now. And my brother pointed out something, very astute observation by him. He's like, huh, so you proposed to her? And I was like, yeah. He's like, it's been like 6 years, right? And I was like, yeah, it's been something like that. He's like, well, he's like, you waited till she was gone for 2 months, because she was gone for 2 months. And I was like, yeah, she was gone for a while. She had to go take care of her mom and everything. He's like, whoa, man, you must have really missed her. And I was like, yeah, I missed her, but that's not why I did it. He's like, it definitely affected it, I think. And I was like, maybe. He's like, I think you really. And he's like, is that the longest you guys have been apart since y'all have been dating? I was like, yeah, we've never been apart longer than, I think, a couple of weeks, maybe, for Christmas or Thanksgiving. He's like, so long as you've been apart from her was 2 months. And then when you see her again, you pop the question within 24 hours. And I was like, yeah. He's like, she should have left her behind for like for years ago. And it'll work. She probably not left you, but left you. She should have left you.
Your brother's on point.
Left you with time to appreciate her a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, maybe there's something to that. I had planned to do it. I bought the ring in February, for God's sake. So I had planned to do it. But he made a good point about me missing her. I did miss her a lot and miss her contributions to my life and the contributions just period as a companion. And I think, it's strange enough, I think Cowboys fans are going through that right now with Dak. I think, because Dak hadn't missed a game, right? His first time he's ever missed any time is, you know, this season. This is the first time that they've had the Dak-less Cowboys to look at. And as I pointed out yesterday, that product on the field for the Cowboys was exactly the same thing we've seen all season long. The only thing was missing was Dak and his ability to sling it out all over the yard and bring you back when you were down double digits, right? You were down 20-0 to Atlanta at one point. You were down 31-14 to Cleveland at one point. You were down 17-3 to the Giants, down 21-0 to Arizona. I mean, you've been down 14-plus points in five consecutive games. Dak was always able to bring you back to at least make it interesting, to at least make you competitive. When you ain't got Dak there to do that, I think Cowboys fans, who even the Dak haters out there, the Dak doubters out there, I believe they may have had a come-to-Jesus epiphany that, whoa, maybe Dak's the only reason that we've been competitive. And
strange, so your girl should have held out for more money is what you're saying.
She probably should have held out, period. Holding out, it works. Ask Zeke. Right? Zeke didn't deserve it. He should have paid Zeke, but Zeke, what did he do? He held out. There's something about holding out, man. The holdout works. So I think ultimately the narrative of Dak this season, this disastrous season, is going to help. He's still leading the NFL in passing. After 6 weeks and missing a week, he's still leading the NFL in passing. That's how productive he's been. And I don't know why, you know, Cowboys fans should understand this. And you gave the number about the Cowboys, what, 6-19 in their last 25 games with
since
a backup?
Since
2010. Last 15 years, they are 10-24 without Romo or Dak as the starting quarterback in the last 15 years. Basically, when Romo got the starting job was around 2006. And I went a little bit deeper. You guys, I look at these numbers, and it's fascinating. Cowboys fans should be really, really grateful. I think they'll start being like this air of Thanksgiving about Dak after watching Andy Dalton with this offense. Because some people were saying, and you guys remember, in the media, I'm not going to name any names, but they were saying, you know what, Cowboys offense may actually find their identity without Dak. started running the ball more effectively. You know, started winning. Started staying ahead of the chains. There was some of that going around.
Yeah.
You remember, I'm not going to name names, but more than one of the football analysts out there have made that proclamation.
I've seen Texas tweets saying Texas would be better. Maybe Casey Thompson would give this offense. We're still going to hold.
That's a great, that's a great comparison. I agree with that. But how about these numbers, guys? I love this. His Cowboys quarterback success since 2001. So from 2001 until 2006. Passer rating for the Cowboys quarterback position from 01 to 06 was a 72 passer rating for the position overall. 103 interceptions for 93 touchdowns collectively with a 56% completion percentage, 6.7 yards per attempt collectively for the position from 01 to 2006. Tony Romo takes over in 2006, and then, of course, you get Dak right after that. 97.8 passer rating combined in the Romo-Dak era of quarterbacking.
Wow.
But a 72.1 passer rating before that. And I'll say it again. I've said it plenty of times. The Cowboys might be the luckiest team in NFL history. At least, not history. I'll take in the last 20 years of the NFL when it comes to the quarterback position. They had an undrafted free agent become a franchise quarterback for them and a fourth-round quarterback become a franchise quarterback for them who was at one point a third-string quarterback. It just doesn't happen that way. You don't have that many happy accidents back-to-back at quarterback. Most people end up with – and the numbers reflect the guys since 1999 – the Cowboys have had the second fewest amount of quarterbacks drafted. Second fewest. Behind the Colts, who didn't need any because they had, you know, Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. Ton of great quarterbacks there. They're just going back to back to back. And then New Orleans is right there with the Cowboys. New Orleans has drafted five, second fewest since then. But New Orleans has also had Drew Brees around for, 15 years now.
Yeah, ever.
So, yeah, they've had him for a long time. And New Orleans with Sean Payton, he likes quarterback projects, so he'll bring in a free agent quarterback. He'll have a Taysom Hill as a project or a Jameis Winston. He's done that before, Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
He likes projects.
And so, Hill was a free agent. He was drafted by someone else.
He was.
Where was he at?
Oh, you might be right.
Seattle, maybe?
He wasn't Green drafted.
Somebody else picked him up.
Yeah, something like that. And if you go look at the Cowboys, they've had the fourth most starting quarterbacks in the NFL since 1999. So they've drafted the second fewest and yet have had the fourth most starting quarterbacks. Essentially, your quarterback position should be a disaster. You should be in quarterback hell right now. You're not because of Dak. You're not because of Romo. You hit on those two guys. And this is kind of where I want to kind of get the discussion and get you guys' thoughts, because the Cowboys right now, they're in a bit of a conundrum, right? They should be in quarterback hell. We've talked about how they almost traded for Connor Cook and Paxton Lynch, for God's sakes, drafted Johnny Manziel instead of having Dak Prescott. It could be much, much worse. But in 2018, the Cowboys spent, I think, 29% of their adjusted salary cap on offense. 2020, that number is ballooned past 50%. And by the way, you still got to give Dak his big-time deal, whenever that is. They're paying essentially 48% of their salary cap on six players. That's it. It's the second highest payroll in the NFL behind the Texans, both pretty disastrous at this point.
Yikes.
From 2011 to 2019, the Dallas Cowboys never spent more than 40% of their budget on their top six highest-paid players. At this point, they're at 48%+. So they're not really in a position to pay Dak and then rebuild the worst defense, as BK mentioned, in the history of the NFL. You're not going to be able to do both. It's a salary cap league. You're on a fixed income, right? You're not going to be able to do all that. So you got to figure out what matters to you at this point. You got to pay Dak. Zeke's going to be – his money's going to kick in. He's going to make a lot of money. And then at one point, you got to rebuild this defense. So I do wonder, and I'll ask you guys, do you think it could get to a point? Because I've said I think Dak might want to hit free agency. They might want to franchise tag him, but players don't like being franchise tagged. As I know, it's like giving a woman a promise ring. She ain't going to like it. She wants the engagement ring. She wants the commitment. Is it worth it if you can be bad, as you mentioned, BK? Say you don't make the playoffs because you don't win that really disastrous division. And let's say you do get to draft somewhere close to the top 10. Could you move up and go get another franchise quarterback, get him on a rookie deal, and then rebuild the whole damn thing?
Right.
If you're going to rebuild it, you can't rebuild it with just Dak. It's not going to work. Because you're going to have to pay Dak so much money. How are you going to rebuild with just that little amount of money? You have to do the greatest drafting. You have to go like Seattle Seahawks, Bill Belichick, Patriots style drafting. And I don't know if they have that in them.
Yeah, and if the Cowboys want to rebuild this defense by next year, they have to give Dak Prescott a long-term contract so they can spread that money out
That's
over
exactly
time.
Exactly right. The franchise tag
franchise tax close to $38 million, but all that money comes off the book
right
next
now.
Year. Yeah. So even if he does end up making $40 million a year, which is what Deshaun Watson's making down in H-Town, you can spread that out over the course of a 4 or 5 year contract.
That's a great
you can
point.
Backload that so like it gives Mahomes. You time to figure out the rest of the issues mm-hmm. and the rest of the contract situations you're dealing with. So that puts even more of a pressure on the Cowboys to crap or get off the pot, as you like to say, KD, when it comes to the Dak Prescott decision. Yeah, I mean, they might have an opportunity to do that. They might have an opportunity
to
do
it.
That, right? Where they just say, hey, you know, they haven't shown their commitment to Dak in the past. I know people will roll their eyes. Oh, they offered him 5 for this and 4 for this. What do you mean? Now, if you want to get a quarterback deal done, as we've talked about on this program, you step up and get a quarterback deal.
Don't lowball your quarterback.
Exactly. And that's what the Cowboys did, yet they're paying Jalen Smith and Zeke Elliott whatever the hell they want. They're making them the highest paid players in the league at their position, yet the one guy who actually goes out and works for you every single day is not getting that money. So we'll find out. I mean, the Cowboys could have that opportunity. If they miss the playoffs and end up going 4-12 or 5-11, they'll pick in the top 10, and they'll either have the chance to draft a quarterback there or trade up a couple of spots to draft a Justin Fields. They're not getting Trevor Lawrence, but like a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance. So we're really going to learn where the Cowboys are at with Dak Prescott if they continue to struggle this year.
It sounds crazy, Rod. It's not. I mean, I think you're on to something. And let's not forget what Dak and Zeke. The Zeke.
I like that. Look, celebrity couple.
Yeah, you like that?
The Deke.
The Zeke money really hadn't come in yet. So you're already going to feel more strapped on that as it goes on. They made a mistake there.
That was a bad move.
I don't think they have it in them, like you said, to actually get this done. Because I think if someone came in, a really smart NFL mind, and had full autonomy, I think they'd come in and say, all right, we're not going to blow everything up. Like, we are going to keep some things here, but we are really going to restructure this if we want to win. I think the other thing that worries me is that you're working on Jerry's timeline, his life timeline.
Very true.
And it's hard when the guy who makes all the decisions it has limited time.
Yeah, he wants to win now.
He's old.
He wants to win now.
I don't think he's willing to rebuild.
No, he's not willing to do that.
He might have to. That might be the best option for the Cowboys moving forward, but I don't think
he'll be forced into it.
Willing to admit that, yeah.
If they rebuild, it's just because they're rebuilding. It's not because it was a... It was, you know, a concerted effort to actually do that.
Yeah. And maybe it's not a rebuild. Maybe it's a reset. Maybe you just got to get a new defensive coach because maybe Mike Nolan's not going to get it done. Maybe you need to, like you said, you got to sign Dak to a long-term deal, or you got to figure out what you're going to do with Dak. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Zeke. Because if you are paying Dak and Zeke that kind of money over the next 3 or 4 years, you cannot rebuild that defense. It can't happen. There's no way you're going to be able to do it. Unless you are you are an elite talent evaluator and you're getting starters in a fourth round, third round, which doesn't really happen in the NFL.
With an elite defensive coach and elite assistants, and as Jane Slater's tweet said today, it doesn't sound like they've got the best assistants there.
Yeah, you need young talent on that defense, man. And sorry, it ain't the guys you picked out in your linebacking corps you drafted so high. I don't know if that's gonna have that much of an impact on the defense.
You
need to go in the back end. You need to rebuild that defense from the back. I know it sounds crazy from the outside in. That's in the spread era of the NFL. You need to go kind of outside in and rebuild it. Even the Seahawks are doing. I mean, that's kind of what they start with the Legion of Boom and they built it outside in.
Yeah, their best defensive player right now might be Trayvon Diggs.
I was just going to say that.
Like their example of actually building outside in. Like he might be their most consistent defensive player. He hadn't been perfect, right? He's shown some rookie problems, rookie mistakes, but he's been one of the most consistent guys, and you haven't really questioned his effort at all this year like you've been doing with some of the other cats.
I think he has been their most consistent guy, and I actually had some worries about him heading into the year because he was toast in big matchups at Alabama. Yeah. And, yeah, you're right. He hadn't been perfect, but I think he's been their most consistent guy. They need to follow that trend more.
Agreed. I don't disagree. Good stuff, Rod B. Yeah. Talking about the state of the Dallas Cowboys, who are 2-4, but still in first place in the NFC East. Jerry Jones said he's not happy with that, by the way. thankfully.
Jeff Howe texts in. He's a big Cowboys fan. I'm on the bandwagon for the Cowboys, seeing what it would take to get Sam Darnold.
Oh, God.
I thought I'd get that
Come
reaction.
On, Jeff.
I like the idea, Jeff.
Are you sure Jeff's a Cowboys fan, not like a Giants fan or something like that?
Listen, I'm all about stockpiling quarterbacks because I'll get two of them and I can always flip them. And then who do you want? You want Dak or Sam Darnold? Then I can get draft picks for him. I can get, you know. The quarterback is basically an asset you can keep flipping.
I assume that meant get rid of Dak and bring in Sam Darnold, because I don't think you're having both of those dudes.
I assumed the Sam Darnold thing was for this year, because you can win the division this year with just a competent quarterback. Then next year, Dak signs, then you can trade Sam Darnold after he has now lifted up his stock. And you can trade him for a second-round pick, potentially.
The best superhero in football, Mono Boy. Sam Darnold?
Yeah, whatever. But some people have been saying that as an option.
I wouldn't give up on him because of the Adam Gase stuff.
And exactly.
I know we got to go to break here, but that was a good Rod's rant. There's so much stuff to hit, and we'll continue to this week. Mm. What's Zeke's value? I don't know what it is.
Negative $90 million.
Like, what do you get if you try and trade him?
Nothing.
Late round pick.
You won't get anything.
Like, maybe if that. If somebody wants that contract.
People don't want that contract.
Right. Oh, God. If you don't want that guy, he could be playing for free. You don't want that guy right now. He's playing that bad. Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day. We'll talk more Cowboys all week long. We've got Off the Record 2 coming up next. You know, some people die in very fitting ways, right? Evel Knievel. Oh, wait, he died from pulmonary disease. Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah, that
guy.
That
was a stingray. It wasn't a crocodile.
But still, he
was still wildlife.
Wild animal. Yeah.
He was still messing and teasing with an animal.
The grizzly man. The grizzly man was eaten by a grizzly bear.
There we go.
There you go.
Perfect. That one works. Matthew McConaughey's father feels like a pretty fitting way for him to have passed away. We'll give you the story next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, the Bat Tuesday edition of the Triple Option. Love the Bat Tuesday. Man, I know this one too. I can tell.
You know the song?
I don't know who sings it, but I know the song, I think.
Former Milwaukee Brewer.
Joey Hart.
Not Joey.
It was Hart. It's a Hart.
It is a Hart.
Corey Hart.
Corey Hart.
Corey Hart. Mm-hmm.
This is a great opening to a song, though.
It is.
Yeah.
I think like I only know the words to the first two.
Is this a one-hit wonder, too?
I'm pretty sure.
He's a one-hit wonder, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Ron Rock and Joey Hart, the former catcher who came here to play at Texas and had elbow issues back in the early 90s. That's who Joey Hart is.
Sick
mofo. I was trying to remember who Joey Hart is.
Sick.
He was a big catcher. I was so fired up about him.
Who remembers Joey?
I do.
Joey Hart reference. Shout out to Joey Hart.
Hey, and
what's he doing now?
The Harts are in Round Rock, probably listening to the show.
What's
and
he
saying,
doing now?
I don't know. We need to catch up with Joey.
We do then. I appreciate the Joey Hart reference on the show.
Do we?
Yes, we do. You.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes.
Bitter Cowboys Longhorn fan here. I don't want to hear Texas players.
Oh, yes, a lot of those bitter Longhorn. Man, football in Texas right now. It's
rough.
I guess if you're an SMU fan, you're happy.
Yeah.
What are the Texas? Is North Texas having a good
year? The Aggies are in the top 10.
The Aggies are playing good ball.
I know they've
sorry,
lost the
Aggies.
Game, but they're in the top 10.
No, Aggies are playing good ball.
I actually know a couple realistic Aggies. Yeah, they're out there. And they're not buying this at all. My dad's buying the Bears more than they're buying A&M.
Really?
Right
not buying it?
They're not buying it.
But when will they be exposed, though? This thing, because Auburn's off.
That's the question.
LSU's
That's
off.
That's the question.
If it is fake, we thought they'd be exposed.
We won't
the
know.
I don't know if we'll figure it out.
Well, we'll figure it out if they lose, right?
If they lose
to
one.
If they lose to one of those teams they shouldn't lose to.
Because they should beat Auburn this year.
They don't
they should beat Auburn.
They don't have too many hard games left on their schedule. Yeah. I mean, they play their two toughest teams.
They should beat LSU.
Yeah, they played their two toughest teams, and they went 1-1. Right.
All
right. They lost to Bama, but they got the win against Florida. Everybody else is easier than those two teams.
Right. And if Guarantano plays, that's guaranteed.
Ah,
it's a
nice.
Guaranteed victory.
Get
and a couple pick sixes.
There you go. All right.
You're too nice, Rod B.
What? Shout out to the Aggies.
BK hated that.
Guaranteed win.
That was good dad joke.
Gosh.
We applaud dad jokes on this show.
That's all we do.
Yeah, good dad
mine are actually
machines.
Good.
And for a guy who changes pronunciations all the time, I thought you'd appreciate it a little bit more.
Well, mine are accurate.
Somebody else who loves dad jokes is Matthew McConaughey. I'm sure he's a big dad joke guy. He just seems like it. He's got a memoir coming out called Green Lights. Comes out tomorrow, actually. And I'm sure he's got a ton of great stories in there. But in one of the stories is one that... It's been a folklore and legend surrounding him about this story for a while. he has told the story before, but he doesn't talk about it a lot. And it's a story about his parents and about his dad and the way his dad passed away. In the memoir, he says, "My mom and my dad quite enjoyed a tumultuous relationship, big wave relationship. They were at times violent." As he said in the book, they were divorced twice, married three times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But he also claims that his dad passed away while making love to his mother. Ugh. He said, "I got a call from Mom. Your dad died. My knees buckled. I couldn't believe it. He was my dad. Nobody or nothing could kill him except Mom. He always told me, my brothers, boys, when I go, I'm going to go making love to your mother." And that's exactly what happened. He had a heart attack when he climaxed. That's McConaughey's words. He said, "My father passing away, major red light, but back over the years, and I realized this going back through my history for the book, boy, a lot of green lights that his moving on gave me." So that's kind of
All right.
Inspired the title for the book that his dad's passing gave him a lot of green lights. No red lights in his life.
Green lights.
Keep going, baby. Go, go, go.
Okay.
L-I-V-I-N.
Yeah.
Living. How about that? Is that the way you want to go, BK?
Came and went.
Okay, that's where you want to go. Don't you want to go like that though?
Came and went.
I would like to go having sex.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better way to die. What's a better way to die than to die if you?
Someone would say in your sleep.
Nah, I think having sex is better. He said as he climaxed.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
last feeling.
It wasn't just
his last feeling.
It wasn't just having regular sex. No,
right.
It was he was at the point of pleasure. Right, you know. The peak of pleasure, and then death.
That's it.
Right, and we know 5 seconds after, all of us change our mindset and kind of who we are. So he at least went out on that, right? He didn't even have the 5 seconds probably to be like, "What am I doing?"
He went out on top.
I don't know.
I don't know if he was on. The detail didn't come out.
He was behind. McConaughey is so comfortable about talking about everything, including his parents having sex. And I know my parents had sex. Like, I know they did. I'm here. But I just wouldn't. Breaking news. I wouldn't be as casual as he talks about it. Yeah, they like making love. And the making love thing.
Making love. Yeah,
making
love. He is a big fan of saying making. I've heard him say making love before. He's
after the two divorces, weren't they just hammering that out?
Wow. Yeah, that's bizarre. Two divorces and three marriages.
That's
a
violent relationship.
People.
That's crazy. Yeah, that is. That's pretty wild.
I always think, like, I've got three sisters, so my parents had sex a total of four times, and that's it.
Yeah. That's it.
It was purely for the functionality of having a
my
child.
My younger sister's 15. That's the last time. This was 16 years ago.
They're actually probably doing it right now, listening to the show. Jeffrey Toobin style.
Come on, dude.
Wow.
How did you do
Quick
that
reference.
To me?
There you go.
You like
we
that dad
brought
joke
that up.
There?
That's a hell of a reference.
I still
there.
Haven't seen that yet.
I don't think you want to see it. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I definitely want to see it.
I don't know. People
I want to see the Robert Kraft video from the massage parlor in Florida.
You don't want to see
Toobin? Stuff like that.
Why do you want to see that?
Toobin?
I don't know who Toobin even is. I'm just intrigued by the embarrassment of it all.
Yeah.
Like that a guy is
trying to be master of your domain while on the Zoom
call.
Trying to mute it.
No.
You're muting the audio, guy. You're not muting the video.
Oh, no.
Carol, could you turn your lights on?
Oh, my goodness.
Need more lighting.
I didn't find out about this until like 2 hours before the show.
It's amazing.
I know. I don't know how I went like 12 hours in my life without
knowing. So let's explain it. Jeffrey Toobin is an analyst, legal analyst on CNN.
I believe.
Yeah, analyst. And they were having a Zoom call, and he thought he was muted, and he was not master of his own domain.
Yeah,
while
so
doing
like not master.
I'm gonna have to do a full BK investigation on this.
Great,
maybe for tomorrow's BK Lounge, really take a deep dive, into what took place there.
Well, you want to see it, so go for
it. Yeah, I'll do the research for research purposes only.
Mm.
I'll watch it, so y'all don't have to.
Thank you.
There
you
go.
Matthew McConaughey telling the story of his father passing in 1992 while having sex with his mother.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, not McConaughey's dad's mother, McConaughey's mother. Right. We're going to break sports next.
Texas.